I'm Dustin Goes to Hollywood.
Okay, calm down. I'm Mally.
It's a new year.
Yeah, it is.
I'm excited.
Oh, stoked.
So we have a great episode today. This is, by the way, if it's your first time listening to us, it is the Silver Linings Playlist podcast. We are a podcast. All right, I'm going to try. Ready? A podcast that tries to find the silver lining in some of cinema's most bleak endings.
I'm really upset you didn't sing that.
I can't sing. I don't want to torture you or our listeners to that.
I'll torture them. I don't give a shit.
You want to try it?
Nope.
All right. So complete divergent from what we did last episode. We gave you a clue for next.
We lied.
Yeah, we straight up lied.
Well, okay, we didn't lie. We very abruptly changed our minds.
Mm-hmm. Very last minute. We were like totally set on doing the next episode, which as of right now will be next week's episode.
Yes. So that clue's still relevant. Just yeah, we're just gonna pop this one in the middle.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, we were like, town. We saw a movie over our break that we both loved. I'll go ahead and get that out of the way. We'll talk about it in a minute. But
this is the first time we've ever done a movie that's still in theaters.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So spoiler alert.
100% spoiler alert. In fact, I think even seeing this title in our feed might
you
be a little
know
bit of spoiler.
Not to, you know, click it.
Not even that. Just the what we're about.
Oh yeah,
and then seeing
point.
The title. Yeah.
Oh, sorry guys.
Well, we both saw this movie and we were like, you know what? It's an unconventional kind of downer ending, but it's definitely one we should talk about.
Yeah.
And why? What better platform than this podcast? So again,
I mean, I've been talking about this movie with everybody I know.
Right, dude. It's
I can't stop talking about it, going to see it, or listening to the goddamn mm-hmm. soundtrack because mm-hmm. it's just so good.
My favorite movie of 2016 for sure,
hands down.
If you don't know what we're talking about, take a look at the title. We're talking about 2016's La La Land.
Yep.
Director is Damien Chazelle, starring Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling.
Yes.
Probably seen trailers for it or heard your friends talking about it. It's fucking awesome movie, man.
A musical.
Musical, which
a
is
musical.
Surprising because I hate musicals.
I love back this movie. I'm back and forth. I dig them for the most part. I mean, I'm not going to lie. One of my favorite musicals is that one episode of Scrubs.
Yep.
But this beat that hands down.
I think the reason this movie succeeds in terms of musicals for me, being someone who doesn't like musicals, is that a couple things. One, the songs aren't annoying.
No, the songs are incredible.
And usually, they're in most musicals, the songs are of like very transient, unimportant shit.
Right.
Like I'm not going to be able to give you an example, but something like Cleaning the Chimney or something, like that's a whole song.
Well, and I'll say, in my opinion, you can take the songs out of this movie.
Still a good movie.
Still works.
Still a good movie.
Still a good
that's
movie.
That's another thing. That was my second point. Was going to be like, there's not a whole lot of music in
no,
terms of singing.
Yeah, there's like only a couple big numbers, mm-hmm. but those big numbers are incredible.
Like, I think it's less than half probably singing, and it's mostly just actual scenes. And I think that's what I liked. I liked that they peppered it in.
Yeah.
And not only that, they peppered it in such a way where it's like, it's reality, it's reality. Bam, it's like fantastical and, you know, and it very well balances out between the two. It doesn't go all the way. It doesn't, you know, do not enough. It's right in the middle. I think that's why it works. And yeah, I'm kind of upset. I've only seen it once. You've seen it twice.
I have seen it twice, and I'm going a third time.
All right.
In
so
the next day or two.
This episode is going to be a little bit different than our usual method. We're not going to go through it beat by beat. We're just going to kind of talk about the film, what we liked, what we didn't like, what we think works, what doesn't work, our favorite songs, that kind of thing. We're going to go through all of it. And you can feel free to join us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/silverliningsplaylist, and you can find the post for this episode and tell us what you thought about this movie, if you liked it, if you didn't.
Wait,
like
this
it.
Only has a 92% so far?
So far, it's
it
only
should
92%.
Be higher.
That's pretty high for a movie that's still in theaters, though, man.
I don't care. It should be higher.
Let's talk about our relationship with this movie. Obviously, it's brand new. It's in theaters right now.
Yep.
It's doing amazing. Especially up against, you know, fucking Rogue One and all the other things.
Crushing it.
Yeah. That's actually one we could maybe do for the podcast. Rogue One.
Focus, Dustin.
Okay, sorry. But yeah, what you had been like clamoring for this movie for months.
I have been talking about this
months,
movie
months,
forever.
Months.
It's okay. Damien Chazelle wrote and directed it. It stars Ryan Gosling, fucking Baby Goose, and Emma Stone. And it's a musical. and it's about LA. This movie was made for me.
It's a pretty stellar, like...
Like, what's Mally like? Cool, let's do all of that.
I mean, it's a very simple movie. I mean, the plot, we're not breaking any ground here in terms of plot.
I was just having a conversation with someone about this the other day. How you can take the simplest idea, like the most basic, cliche even idea, and make it into something fucking incredible.
Yeah.
And this is a perfect example of that. It's all
about execution and direction, man. Like, this movie is very simple in terms of plot, and they make it work. And how long is this movie? Do you know the runtime?
Because it feels like... I want to say... It's over 2 hours.
Is it over two
hours? Oh, yeah. It was... Yeah, no. Yeah, because...
But it doesn't...
I went... When I first saw it, I went to a 10:30 showing, because I was going to go to the 9:30, but there were only shitty seats left, and I was with, like, four other people.
Mm-hmm.
And the dude was like, well, if you wait till 10:30, you know, better seats. I was like, all right, cool, let's do that. He's like, it is 2.5 hours long, though, just so you know. And
so
I was
it
like,
is 2 hours.
I don't care. I'm going to see this movie.
It's... And, dude, it doesn't feel like it. Like, this movie...
No,
it's,
this movie goes... Quick.
It's fun.
I mean, so good.
There are parts near the end where it does kind of the false ending, where you think it's gonna end, you think it's gonna end, you think it's gonna end, and then it does. But
yeah,
you enjoy it, I would say.
Oh yeah, no, I was like, whenever I thought it was gonna end, I was like, no, please don't, God, don't end. And then it was that false ending. I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, it's and the way it does end is exactly how it should end, right?
Yeah, like,
which we're gonna talk about.
Yeah, we'll get there.
I just want to double check real quick, because that's crazy if it's 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a runtime of 2 hours.
Well, it's not 2.5, but it is 128 minutes, so just over 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
Which, don't let that number scare you. This is a fun movie.
No, please, God,
so,
go see this movie.
First thing I forgot to mention was the budget. Yeah, it had a budget of $30 million, and so far, we got a worldwide gross of $66 million. So it's at least doubled its budget so far, and it's on track, man. Like, this movie is doing really well.
That's crazy. The budget's only $30 million.
Only that's. I mean, yeah. I guess. I mean, there's. It's very low brow. I feel like that's mostly going to like talent and choreographers and set design.
Which,
and everything.
Do you know who the choreographer was for this?
Mm-mm.
Mandy Moore.
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah,
I did see that. That's crazy.
That's awesome.
So we're gonna listen to the trailer, and then we're gonna talk about it afterwards. And this is. This film has a weird campaign. There's like 10 different official trailers.
Yeah.
They're all themed, but we're just going to go with the one, I think it's titled Dreamers.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably, I think this was the first official trailer that came out.
This was the first trailer I saw, so I say we go with that one.
All right, well, let's listen to it real quick, and then we'll talk about it.
Two options. You either follow my rules or follow my rules. Capiche?
Thank you.
I can do it a different way.
No, that's fine. Thank you very much.
See the decorations. Good luck in the new year.
I just heard you play, and I wanted... It's pretty strange that we keep running into each other.
Maybe it means something.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't think so. You could just write your own roles, you know? Write something that's as interesting as you are.
What are you gonna do?
I have my own club.
Is that gonna happen every time?
I think so.
How are you gonna be a revolutionary if you're such a traditionalist? You're holding on to the past, but jazz is about the future.
Maybe I'm not good enough.
Yes, you are.
Maybe I'm not. It's like a pipe dream.
This is the dream. It's conflict and it's compromise. It's very, very exciting.
I love it. Ah,
it's fucking perfect, just like the movie.
Yeah, exactly. This trailer is great.
It gives you a little bit of the music, the story, and some of the brilliant dialogue.
The dialogue
in this movie is so good.
the colors, the back and forth,
oh god,
the colors, the art direction, the cinematography.
Give this movie all the awards. It wins all of them.
It's such a pretty looking movie. This trailer is exactly what it needs to be. It doesn't give away really anything, much of anything.
No.
I mean, but again, the plot is very simple. So
it's a love story between these two characters in LA, and it's a musical.
Yeah.
And the story goes so much, like, I'm not going to lie, that is the story, but it goes so much deeper than that.
Yeah. And there's, I think, a blurb, I can't remember exactly who it's from, but someone says they don't make movies like this anymore. And I 100% agree, they don't make movies like this anymore.
They don't.
This is like a throwback, even the title and the typeface of the font, it's all throwback to like that golden age of Hollywood.
Even the opening credits.
Yeah.
Are that like presented in CinemaScope.
Yeah.
And then the screen.
Oh, yeah, the screen, yeah. So is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into the film? And we will talk about that ending. So from this point on, it is spoilers. We're going to talk about the whole thing, but is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into it?
Nah, let's do this.
All right. So I guess we could kind of start a little bit beat by beat, but one of the things I don't like about this movie, which may surprise you, but I don't like the opening.
You're fucking stupid. Stupid.
I don't like the opening number that much. Well, here's the thing. My experience is watching it was this is the first song in the movie. We start off with a song. In my theater, the center channel, where, if you don't know, that's where all the dialogue comes from.
You know, we saw it in the same theater, right?
In my theater, in the center channel of the speaker was like cutting in and out. And not only that, it was crackling.
This is why
you
should see it again.
Well, like, they're doing the big musical number, so you have the instruments pan left, pan right, and all the dialogues in the middle, and I can't hear any of the lyrics. All I see are people mouthing words and just brilliant fanfare music playing. Don't understand a fucking word they're saying, though.
Well, I honestly couldn't really tell you any of the lyrics of that song.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the music's good and everything, but it's just like the sheer like scope of what is happening. Like,
yeah,
they shot that.
On the actual freeway,
like they shut it down for like 4 weekends in a row, shot this huge thing, and like they were doing, like obviously, like you can tell if you pay attention where the cuts were.
No,
but there's very few cuts. They did it as in many long shots, like one take shots as possible.
I do like the choreography. I do like what I'm seeing visually. I don't really care for the song, though.
Yeah.
I should say the first song doesn't feature Gosling or Emma Stone.
No.
It's just kind of everybody is in traffic, but talking about how shitty it is that they're in traffic, but it's still a good day in L.A.
And
pretty much.
The best, and this, I know this got a laugh here in the theater I saw it in, but
I know what
one
you're
of our
say
friends
too.
From L.A. said one of the biggest laughs of the movie is there's this big opening number.
It's bright, it's sunny.
Called Another Day of Sun. And bright, sunny, gorgeous, and then the song finishes, then just big title card, winter.
Yep. Got a big laugh in my theater, too. And that's where we get introduced to Ryan Gosling.
No, you meet Emma Stone first.
Oh, yeah, she's in traffic.
She's, like, in her car, like, reading lines.
Well, no, you do meet Ryan Gosling first because he's turning the radio.
You see him first, but then we pan over to Emma Stone. And then traffic moves on, he goes around her and honks at her.
Yeah.
And she's like, ah, fuck you.
That's a brilliant meet cute for this movie too, which I think is great. They have kind of two meet cutes, really. They have this one,
yeah,
where she flicks him off because she's like in traffic rehearsing her lines and not paying attention. And then when she finally sees him later on, and he's playing Christmas jingles.
They could have three if you think about it.
What's the third one then? I can't remember.
Iran.
Oh, Iran.
Which
yep.
I don't want to talk about that scene.
Why not?
We cannot do the comedy of that scene justice.
No, we can't. But that is one of my favorite scenes, mostly because I've been on an 80s pop music kick for the past few months here.
I've been on an 80s pop music kit for 27 years.
And AHA is like number one on my list. We start that scene off. She's at this party. We hear there's some like cover band playing Take On Me. And we get to see him in like this amazing like windbreaker,
rocking the keytar,
the keytar with the Casio.
Because the last time we saw him, he had just been fired.
Yeah.
From he was playing their, like their Christmas, second meet-cute. He was playing like Christmas songs in a restaurant.
On a piano.
And she hears him playing, walks in, and he ignores her. And then we cut to like spring. And the next time.
Well, not only does he ignore her, she's trying to tell her.
Shoulder checks the shit. She's
trying to tell him, hey, I just heard your music play. I think you're great.
Yeah.
And he fucking like a linebacker just fucking runs over.
And then we cut to spring. She's at this Hollywood party and he's playing keytar in this cover band.
Because he lost his job.
Yeah. And just this amazing sequence of him playing a very certain song and her antagonizing him, as it
were. Yeah, we should say, like, in the scene where he gets fired because the restaurant owner, who is played by J.K. Simmons, wants him to play just straight up Jingle Bells, Christmas music on the piano. That's it. And he's like, yeah, but no one's going to care. No one's going to tip me. No one's even knows I'm here. Yeah. Let me just play a little bit of lively up jazz, you know, and he's like, nope, you either play it or you get out. Well, Ryan Gosling can't help himself.
Can't help it.
Plays this beautiful, sweet spotlight on him kind of music, which, again, dude, the direction of how we do things. Like, we start off, he's just playing music, which he's really playing.
And then all the lights fade out except for that one spotlight. They do that a few times in this movie, and every time I'm like, shit, that's cool.
And it's like Ryan Gosling actually playing the piano. We get this big long one of him playing this beautiful.
I don't know
music.
How many months, but he's practiced for 2 hours a day for 6 days a week.
Yep.
For God knows how many
and
months.
And is great.
It crushing it.
Damien Chazelle gets that out of people, man. He got that out of Miles Teller with Whiplash. Yeah.
John Legend had to learn how to play guitar for this.
Yeah. But yeah, he basically gets fired, and then like the next time we see him and she sees him, he's been in this shitty cover band. And you can tell he just so badly wants to play like amazing jazz, play piano in general, and yet he's stuck having to play for this cover band to make money. And so they ask for a request. She sees him, and just to antagonize him, she requests Iran, which is like the simplest fucking keyboard song melody you could probably play.
I love that song.
Yeah, I love the song too. But and he even tells her it's an insult to a real musician.
It's like, you can't request Iran from a serious musician.
Oh, you were a serious musician?
I don't recall saying that.
Dude, there's so many like quick little witticisms in this movie. Like right after that, when he's taking her to her car, and
when we get the Prius night.
Well, no, I was gonna say the Prius key.
Oh, the
scene.
Prius joke is again, our friend from LA said that was like the other huge laugh.
Yeah,
because it's so accurate.
Yeah, she like he's trying to get her key from the valet. He's like, "What is it?" She goes, "It's a Prius," and he looks at all the keys. They're fucking Priuses.
Yeah, there's like 30 Prius keys. Like, well, that doesn't help.
Yeah. That's probably one of my favorite songs too, the Lovely Night song. He's walking her to her car.
When he walks her to her car. I was playing it right before we started recording, but like, God, the melody.
It's kind of like. Yeah, you know what it kind of reminds me of? This movie kind of reminds me of It Happened One Night, but with music in it.
Oh, shit.
Like, it's very, very similar plot and everything.
That would explain why I love this movie, because I love that
movie.
That's
a great movie, too.
That's a great movie. Fantastic.
Yeah, the tap dancing sequence. Here's something I do like about this movie. Most musicals, I tell you what, I saw. Did you see Les Mis?
Yeah, like once when it first came out.
You didn't like it, did you?
No.
I think the reason I didn't like it is because it's so over the top.
The best thing we got out of Les Mis was that creeping Russell Crowe gif.
Yeah. I think because they go so theatrical with it.
Yeah.
And this, you can tell that they were trained for that movie and everything. I feel like in this movie, when Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling singing, and this is going to sound like a backhanded compliment, but I promise it's from a good intention.
They're not professional singers?
They're not. You can tell when you listen them sing, they're just like you would in your car. You're just naturally singing. Like,
but it works.
100% works. And it makes sense for the story because Emma Stone's trying to be the successful actress. He's trying to be a successful musician. And you can tell they're amateurs. And that's why I like the music. I like it because...
Disregarding the fact that Ryan Gosling is in a band.
Is in a band and is the
frontman. But singing using a completely different voice in this movie.
100%.
Because in his band, he sings kind of like similar how he does in Blue Valentine. That kind of...
The falsetto kind of thing.
Yeah, that voice. Like that real like... croaky falsetto nose. And this, it just sounds like he's actually trying to just sing using his natural voice.
Yeah, 100%. And
which I like.
My favorite Emma Stone song is her audition song.
Oh my god! And
I, again, it's because it's not overproduced. She's not like hitting the high notes how she should be. You can tell.
It's funny
she's,
you say that. That was that's production.
Yeah,
audio.
Like, it's 100% improvised. Live. Yeah. From what I was told, that she had like an earpiece in her ear, and she could hear someone else playing
and they had,
piano.
Justin, I don't know his last name, the composer in another room playing piano, mm-hmm. and like she had it had an earpiece in, and she just sang it live on,
which
set.
Is crazy because you have delay, echo, you have everything. But and that's one of my favorite scenes in the movie too, because it's 100% real. It does the simplest camera trick. It's all a one-er. Her there, we do the spotlight thing again, we go past the people that she's auditioning for, we go around her, I think maybe once,
something like that,
maybe twice, and then come back, and that's it. And it's to me, it's one of the best songs in the movie.
Oh yeah, hands down.
Other than the first song, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find a song you don't like, even the instrumental ones. Like, I know we talked about it before the podcast, but you said you didn't really care for the observatory scene, which I think it's an instrumental. I think it's one of the better scenes in the movie.
I like that song. Mm-hmm. I love that song. Mm-hmm. It's the actual scene itself.
I like both. And I love them both.
I'm not saying I don't like that scene. I'm saying if I had to pick a scene that was my least favorite, it would probably be that one, solely because you could take that out of the movie and it wouldn't make any 100% difference.
100% you could take it out of the movie.
I'm not saying I don't like it, though. Mm-hmm.
I
love everything about this movie. There is no fault in this movie.
The fucking wire
There is not
team.
A bad thing about
the
this
fucking
movie.
Wire team did... Like, I was looking for it because I was like, I know they're on wires. I know what they're doing here. But when they come back down into the seats, it's so fucking flawless that I believe that they were up there floating around in this observatory. And that's what I mean by going with the reality, pumping up the whimsical, fantastical nature, and coming right back down. Like, it doesn't
like
stay...
Like, they flow in and out of normal and extravagant so well.
It doesn't stay in this fanatic state of everything's being whimsical and everything. And I think that's mostly because what the plot of the movie is. It's all set in this reality of this almost gritty kind of reality. Like, they're going through some difficult times later on. I mean, the first hour and a half is all fun and games, pretty much.
Yeah, and then, it gets real.
Yeah, and we can... Did you feel like that was kind of forced a little bit, the dinner scene?
No.
I had a little hint of it, because I felt like Ryan Gosling was taking it just a little too far, but...
I was having a discussion with someone immediately, like, as we... Like, we came back here after seeing the movie, and we're just, like, talking about how good that dinner scene was. Like, that is probably my, hands down, my favorite argument between, like, a couple in any movie.
Not even Blue Valentine?
Even Blue Valentine. That's crazy. You know I love Blue Valentine.
Well, I was going
to
say...
It's just... that came off so natural to me, how it just, like, one sentence made the other one be like, wait, well, hold on.
I understood both their points. I agreed with both of them. I didn't think anyone was in the wrong there. I just felt like... And it's weird because I'm going to be such a hypocrite, because he says a line, and maybe you can confirm to me what exactly the line is, but it's right after they kind of blow up at each other, and then he says one line, and it's the fucking knife in the wound. It's the, sometimes I feel like you're only happy when I'm struggling, or something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact line. It's something like that, though.
I felt that line more than any line in this movie. Yeah. And I don't go run and tell my girlfriend that I'm talking shit about her, but...
She doesn't listen to
this. No, she doesn't. But I felt that line, and I'm not accusing her of doing that. I just feel like...
This is going to be the one episode she listens to.
Yeah, 100%. But
so, hey, Priscilla, how you doing?
No, I just... I can relate to that with some of my past relationships.
Right.
And I can definitely relate that with some people that I know now. That,
for
like,
sure.
They want you to stay right here.
Yep.
If you go past here... It's a problem for them. And I was like, I heard that and I was like, yes. But up to that point, I was kind of like, dude, you're kind of going a little out of proportion here. But and the thing is, being in the same shoes, I probably would have done exactly what
right. Something I do want to talk about. So one of the argument is pretty much like Ryan Gosling stopped playing like freeform jazz and he joined this band led
which
by
he hates.
John Legend.
Which he hates.
But, see, does he hate it, though?
He does. I think he hates.
He
does, man. Now that I think about it.
He initially hates it. Like, he doesn't want to do it.
You can hear that. You can see that in the first practice.
Once you see
session.
Him, like, when they have that great scene of them playing live.
Oh, it's one of my favorite songs.
That song. Oh, dude, it's the catchiest song.
And it's so funny because you're not supposed to like it because you're on Ryan Gosling's side.
He's not supposed to like it either, but you just see him like he's like getting into it and stuff.
But I feel like that's kind of like you always give a good show no matter what. Even if you don't like what you're playing.
See, I don't know. Like, okay, it might not be so much that he likes the music, but he likes what he's doing. Like, he's playing music for a living.
See, I think he's seeing the crowd. He's seeing everybody, and he's like, this is what it could be if I was... I'll play this song that I don't like, but I'm still playing piano. There's still a crowd. I can find some enjoyment out of it. Right. But I think that's 100% surface level. I feel like he hates what he's doing. And you can see that in the first practice session. He hears the chord go off, and he's like, what the fuck is that?
Mm-hmm.
And he stops playing. You can see that in the photo shoot. You can see it
that
in everything.
That photo shoot scene is brutal. Hilarious.
Brutal, dude. I hope I never get to that level of anything. Ugh. But then you see how miserable he is, and then but you find out it's... I mean, let me ask you this. If you had to be... What's your least favorite kind of music, genre-wise? Maybe gospel, or maybe like bluegrass. I mean, you have a banjo. You fucking love bluegrass.
There's a banjo 5 feet from us. I love me some bluegrass. Come on.
Least... Christian rock. I don't know.
Yeah, like, sure. Creed.
Creed. Creed is a genre. You're getting paid 100%. Way more than what you get paid if you played guitar in any other kind of band. But you have to play Creed. You've got to be in Creed for like a contract of like at least 3 years.
Oh, God.
2 albums or 3 years.
Oh, God.
Do you do that or you just say, fuck it, I'll just keep playing guitar in this bar or whatever? And
I mean, I want to say, fuck it, I'll keep playing guitar in this bar, but... Honestly, when that situation was put in my... Like, if I was... I don't know what I would
do. If you're a studio musician or musician for hire, that's rough, man.
I honestly don't know what I would
I've
do.
I've never been in that situation, but me I have either. Been in
hey,
bands...
Hey, someone offered me money to play guitar.
I have been in bands that I didn't necessarily want to be in, but I was like, dude, I just enjoy playing music. That's what I want to do. And, you know, that led to better ideas and better projects and everything, but... I never was getting paid out the ass.
Right.
So I don't know. And then that's when I feel
if
like,
you paid me to be in the band he's in, I'm fucking there. Oh, that song rules.
Yeah, I'd be in that band for sure. But I feel like it's so great that dinner scene happens exactly what it does because everything is going great on the surface.
Yep.
And that's exactly. And then, so who do you think has it harder? In this movie.
At which point in the movie are we talking?
Well, let's go through...
Because
let's do a general...
They're both very up and down.
Who do you think gets it worse by the end? Because, well, let's go ahead and spoil the ending. They both get what they want.
Right. She becomes a very famous actress. Mm-hmm. He owns his own successful jazz club.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not together.
Which is my silver lining. We can go ahead and get into that. My silver lining is that they both get exactly what they want, even if they're not together. But that's okay. I mean... She's happy-ish.
Yeah, like she has a kid. Her husband seems cool as shit.
Do you know who her husband is?
No.
Okay, I want to jump into the trivia section there real quick because it kind of goes in line with something else we've done here. Her husband is played by an actor named Tom Everett Scott, who is a man that she meets after leaving for Paris. Scott plays the lead role in An American Werewolf in Paris, which, of course, is the spinoff of a previous episode, John Landis' American Werewolf in London.
Holy shit.
It all comes full circle, man.
Circle alive.
And, of course, her first boyfriend is crazy dude from American Horror Story.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I think they both get what they want. Sometimes it happens that way. I mean, I think they had their fun, for sure, and maybe in the future they can get back together, for sure. I mean, they both got what they want now. What's left and, you know... What do you think? What do you see for the future of these characters? Do you think they get back together someday?
I don't know, but I don't think the story's over.
100% no.
That is the closest because...
You know how you know the story's not over?
You took the best silver lining, but it's not over there.
You know how I know it? You know it's not over. What's that? The ending scene.
Yeah.
Okay, I keep saying it's my favorite part. That is 100% my favorite part is... That when they do the fake ending like 3 or 4 times,
yeah.
Which a little annoying, but it's all for good measure. It's all for good reason. He gets on that piano. She's in the crowd. She's already almost in tears just seeing him and seeing how
with her husband,
how successful he is, how happy he is. He puts his hands on that piano before he even hits a single note. She knows what song he's going to play. He knows what song she's going to play. Mm-hmm. And then he starts playing it. And then the song kind of ends and you realize, oh, he's still back at the restaurant.
Yeah, like it fades back to that night at the restaurant when they first met.
But before that, it's the whole montage of pretty much what could have been. Like,
it fades back to the first night at the restaurant. Instead of shoulder checking her, they kiss.
Yeah. So basically, he's replaying in his head what he could have done to save her or to kept what they have.
See, I don't necessarily think it's just in his. I think it's in. They're both pictures.
I think they are too.
And like, it just goes through this whole thing of what could have been, like, blah 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 blah.
She goes to Paris. He goes with her. They have a kid. She still gets her acting career. He still gets his. You know, he's going with her on the freeway. They pull over, go into this jazz club, and then the song ends, and you realize he's still back in like, there playing.
Yeah,
it.
We're back. He's and finishing the song. She's still sitting there with her husband.
It's then, so fucking sad, dude. I was like, God damn,
it's
dude.
Rough, dude.
No dialogue.
None.
It's just, they do it all with this montage, all with this song, and it is fucking heartbreaking, man.
Well, and it's just like, and they do a great little, like, huge, like, they don't recap it, like, exactly visually. They do, like, this big, like, dance routine, almost like they're going from, like, pretty much soundstage to soundstage. And each soundstage represents like a pivotal point in their
lives. And that's where you get like the old school huge sets with all the different choreography and actors.
Which you'll notice on that one, like there's a set of, they like built a set of the freeway from the beginning.
Yep.
And like all the dancers are the same. But yeah, it's
that
just,
part is where they go full on old Hollywood theatrical.
Completely.
And it's great, man. But yeah, like, he plays that song.
Which also, the song playing over that is called Epilogue, if anyone was curious.
It's on the soundtrack,
and it's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
That is probably my favorite song.
You think so? It's great. I mean, it's all kind of different renditions
that's
of City of
my
Stars.
My favorite instrumental is Epilogue.
Yeah, I have to agree with you.
Because it pretty much goes, it's like a mash of every song.
I have to agree with you.
But they flow with each other so well.
But then he finishes playing the song. She's about to burst into tears. So is he, I think.
Yeah, they both look like they're about to just, like, they're both wrecked.
He gets an applause. He goes, he gives it up about somebody. I think he's about to start playing another song. And then her husband asks if she wants to go, or if she wants to stay for another. She says, no, let's go. They kind of share a moment looking at one another. And I was like, in my head, I was like, please, God, let this be how it ends. 100% this is how it needs to end. And it does. And I was like,
well, it's not so much they share a look. They share a smile.
They share a tiny little nod and grin.
They're looking at each other, and it's like they both look like they're about to burst into tears, and then they both just get the faintest little smile.
This is like...
credit.
This is like the opposite ending of Blue Valentine. Like, these people are done. They're probably going to separate.
Yeah.
In Blue Valentine. Here, they had their moment. It's pretty much over with, or at least for this movie. But this is the one time where he gets to look back. And give her basically the nod of, like, I'm happy for you. You get what you wanted. I got what I wanted. Let's just call it a day. I still think in the future they have potential, which you could count as another silver lining. But
they might.
That's
but,
all.
I mean, I don't even know if the story calls for them necessarily having to be together.
No, they don't.
It's
they don't need. In fact, it might be better if they're not together, and maybe they just sprinkle in and out of each other's lives.
Right.
As they get old. That'd be nice.
Oh, man.
It's kind of like a...
The movie's fucking incredible.
It's kind of like it ends a beat earlier than, like, 500 Days of Summer. Like, they had their moment, and then it couldn't last.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? But what do you think of Sebs? Did you prefer Chicken on a Stick, or do you like Sebs?
I like Sebs.
Chicken on a Stick is hilarious, but...
And it did make me hungry.
Did make me very hungry, yeah. Dude, that jazz club looks so fucking swank, dude. Like,
yeah, it does.
Looks so much fun.
And
I love the
big payoff, because earlier in the movie, Ryan Gosling goes home and his sister is there sitting on this stool, and he freaks out. He's like, no, some famous jazz musician sit on this stool, blah, blah. And there's a whole back and forth about him being obsessed with the old jazz world. And the big payoff for that joke is, when you first see Sebs, there's this panning shot against the wall, and you just see the stool there on display with like a placard.
Yep. Yep.
I loved that.
What, I guess we kind of skipped over a few other big scenes. What do you think about the I don't know the name of the song, the going out for the night or song where you have,
Someone in the crowd?
No. The one with Emma Stone and her roommates all getting
someone
ready.
Someone in the crowd.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Someone in the crowd.
Okay. Yeah, like the choreography
that foreshadows how she gets famous.
Yeah, yeah. Them going through the streets, doing the dress swinging choreography.
Oh, so good.
And then she's at the party, and she goes in the bathroom, comes out, and everyone's not everyone. I thought this was an interesting choice. Not everyone is
doing the mannequin challenge.
The mannequin challenge.
Some people
thing.
Are dancing in slow motion.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was. It's visually, dude. This movie is unlike any other musical
it's
I've
insane.
Ever seen. It's crazy. Like, there's a lot of. Swooshing, swinging crane shots, a lot of one-ers, a lot of following steady cams, and mm-hmm. it's all fucking like there's so many one-ers.
They are.
That tap dancing scene with the Lovely Night song
God.
Is so it's such a long one-er, and it's so.
Well, and they said because they wanted to, like, I think the director said he's like, you know, in old Hollywood musicals, they did it one take, done. He's like, and that's what, you know, that's what we're going to do. To do a musical right, you got to do it like that.
Man, there's just so much to talk about. Like, is there anything you don't like about the movie?
No.
Like,
not
objectively
a goddamn
nothing.
Thing.
There's a few little...
I got nothing.
There's a few little, like I said, the opening song I didn't really
You're
care
wrong.
For that much. Well, I don't know. It didn't really do much for me. It got me in the spirit for the movie. But then again, with my bad experience, like at the theater, like I couldn't really get into it fully. The humor is top notch. It's very subtle humor. What do you think of J.K. Simmons' little jig?
Oh, his little
that
he does during the epilogue scene.
Yeah,
amazing.
Because J.K. Simmons might as well just have a cameo part, right? This is not a role.
He has maybe what 45 seconds of screen. No,
if that,
I give him a minute.
Maybe. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
50 seconds.
All right. I thought it was very funny, too, because after seeing this movie, and especially that scene in particular where Ryan Gosling's in the restaurant and playing Jingle Bells mm-hmm. on the piano, as soon as we walked out of the movie theater, across the street, they were playing Christmas jazz.
Yep.
Which I thought was fucking hilarious, because there's not any better comedic timing than that.
No.
Dude,
speaking of comedic time, like, God, Ryan Gosling has some of the best comedic timing of all time.
He's really good, dude.
Emma Stone, too.
Well, the thing, too, is I was going to tweet out after seeing this movie, I wish Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling would just get married already. Because they have such great chemistry in this and other, pretty much every other movie they're in together. But then I remember that Ryan Gosling's married to Eva Mendes, and that is top tier. Not saying Emma Stone's not, but you don't give up Eva Mendes. Sorry.
Wait, he's married to
Eva Mendes, dude. They have a kid together. I think they have two. Yeah, he ain't going nowhere. Would you?
I would take Emma Stone, son.
Really?
Yeah, she is adorable.
Emma Stone is adorable. Eva Mendes is another planet,
plus,
dude.
Emma Stone's the better actress.
You won't get no argument from me there. But Eva Mendes.
No, if I had to choose... No, Eva Mendes and Emma Stone.
Well, I'm glad we can...
Emma Stone,
I'm glad
sir.
we can... You know, have you
what
have
you
your choice?
Gesturing towards your penis.
No, I was gonna say you have your choice. I have my choice. We don't have to have any argument. No
this ain't
overlap.
That kind of podcast.
No overlap. No, Eva Mendes is great though. Man, yeah, their chemistry is just so great in this movie. Like it feels natural. It's such a fun, cutesy kind of story, but it appeals, I think, to mass audiences. Like the older generations can enjoy it for like the musicalness and the old school throwback. Younger kids can enjoy it because of the music and the love story. And then people like our age, like this, I don't think this movie is made for me and you specifically.
The fuck it isn't.
No, I mean like for
this
our demographic.
This movie checks off everything on my list.
For our demographic though, we are 20 something males. Like we shouldn't technically by all definitions enjoy this movie by the standard, but this movie is just, it's likable.
I'm just breaking through those barriers, man.
It's super likable, dude. Like I think... Do you think there's any type of audience that wouldn't? You talk about me gesturing towards my dick and you do that. Is there any demographic or age range or anything that you think wouldn't enjoy this movie?
No.
The alt-rights probably won't enjoy this movie. There is a lot of color.
Jesus.
what do you think happened with John Legend and Ryan Gosling's character, because we don't ever find out exactly what he did, I don't think, right? Or did I miss a spot?
I mean, I think he just quit the band.
Okay, yeah, and then like, because as soon as John Legend's character appears, I didn't know who's in this movie. I was like, holy shit, John Legend. And then they have their scene, and Ryan Gosling gives him the cold shoulder the whole time, which was crazy that he still ended up getting that job offer. But I think they worked well, too, and they had some good, John Legend had some good points. You know, Ryan Gosling is this traditionalist, as we hear in the trailer, but he wants to be a revolutionary. He wants to be the new face of jazz, but still keep it in line with what original jazz is all about. Right. Which you can't blame him for that. But this John Legend's direction is so vastly different from what real, well, I don't want to say real, but what traditional jazz is.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I do struggle to call that song a jazz song.
It's not. It's not.
It has jazz elements.
I would say it's a little more soul than jazz.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, when I play guitar, like, a lot of like this, like, I used to be in a screamo band, and I almost always used jazz chords.
Whatever. That's
it,
yeah.
But I would not call it a jazz song.
That's because all rock comes from jazz, like, 100%. Yeah. And even any form of it comes from jazz, for sure. But do you prefer the John Legend style of jazz, or would you rather listen to, like, what he's playing and... what he's playing in Seb's, or the band is playing in Seb's when they first arrive.
Probably what Ryan Gosling plays, but I do love that John Legend. Like,
see,
I can appreciate them both.
I can appreciate them both, but I feel like conventionally I would probably listen to more of the John Legend stuff. Like, if I had to choose between listening to this and that, I'd probably... But then again, I do listen to the Whiplash soundtrack just by itself all the time. Dude, yeah, Damien Chazelle has a thing with jazz music. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And he's like... younger than both of us.
When are the Golden Globes? Depressing. Are they tonight?
Literally going on right now.
Right now, as we record this?
Fun fact, actually. Someone actually just sent me the opening of the Golden Globes was a big, huge musical number.
Was it inspired by La La Land? Or?
I don't know, but I've had like four different people text me be like, you're going to love the opening of the Golden Globes. So I think it might have something to do with
La La,
La La Land, because I haven't stopped talking about that movie all week.
Yeah.
And the four people that have told me about the Golden Globes are four of the people that I haven't stopped talking to about La La Land.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's okay. Hey, guys, watch the Golden Globes.
So what is your... let's do a least and favorite. What's your favorite song on the soundtrack?
Everything.
Okay. Man, I'm stuck between...
If I have to pick a... are we going instrumental or
vocal?
Let's
do instrumental one, and let's also do vocal.
I'm going to say instrumental. My favorite song is Epilogue.
I'll agree with you on that one, yeah.
Favorite song with lyrics, A Lovely Night. Least favorite song?
I'm stuck between A Lovely Night, and I'm stuck between Audition for my favorite vocal songs.
I like Audition, but I have to give it to A Lovely Night.
Yeah, no, I will too. The melody about it. I do like I do take A Lovely Night, because I think Audition is kind of like a school play kind of song, and songs like that kind of give... well, it does. It feels like a song that could easily be in a school play. And yeah. Songs like that kind of turn me off a little bit, but it's still a great song. I'll put A Lovely Night as my favorite for sure. What's your least favorite instrumental?
I don't know. Engagement Party.
Yeah.
And least favorite...
Vocal
is Another Day of Sun, the opening song.
Yeah, 100. Yeah. We're on the same page then. I feel like a lot of people don't like that opening song. I don't know if it's because Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone are in it, or
see,
if it's...
I don't think that it's so much that it's not a bad song by any means.
No.
It's the songs after it are just so good.
Like, you could take that whole scene and cut it out of the movie and just start with him on the freeway.
The thing with Another Day of Sun is it is followed up. Like, the next song is that Someone in the Crowd song.
That's a good song, too,
which
man.
Is really good. Like, and all, the song's just, like, I think it's just Another Day of Sun just happens to be the worst song.
Yeah.
Which I think was smart that they opened it with that.
It's not a bad idea.
Because everyone's like, oh, this is a good song. But then the next song, you're like, this is fucking amazing.
Will you do me a favor? Do you have, the soundtrack pulled up. Do you have the runtime for each song? Like, can you see
it? I do, yeah.
What's the longest, besides, I'm sure Epilogue is the longest, but what's the longest one? Is it a level?
Besides Epilogue, it is Planetarium.
And that's an instrumental, right?
Yep.
What about Someone in the Crowd? How long is that?
Someone in the Crowd. Oh, sorry, it is Someone
that's
in the Crowd.
That's the longest one?
Yeah, it's 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
That one, it takes place in like three different sets. That's probably why.
Yeah,
they're
it
in
takes
their apartment,
place in the apartment.
On the street.
On the street.
And at the party.
At the party. And in like And then kind of the exterior of the party, too.
So like really, it's pool. That's really like pretty much like two songs together, I think.
Yeah, kind
of. I think that's why I like this movie is because the songs aren't forever.
Because there's a big musical number with vocals. Mm-hmm. There's kind of that quieter instrumental slash very soft singing part. And then it goes into like a big vocal
the pool
ending.
Part, yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of like two or three songs
in one.
So
I would say the average is probably for a song is probably like two and a half minutes.
Yeah, because
I see a lot of
there.
150s,
348, 357, yeah. 150.
What did you think of
127?
I don't mean to get off track, but what did you think of the pier scene where he just starts dancing with that dude's wife?
Hilarious.
So I got a big laugh in my crowd.
Hilarious.
But so and Ryan Gosling could charm anyone, and like I think he even charmed that guy
for a second. Then the guy's like, "Okay, okay yeah, I was like, you're gonna right. fuck my wife." Come here.
Yeah, man. What do you think of his car? It matches 100% with his character, right?
I want it so bad.
Oh, dude, I did feel like it was super annoying him holding on that horn, though.
That
it's
was
hilarious.
So funny.
It's hilarious, but dude, oh my God, in the theater, I was like, please stop pulling the horn.
Oh, no, that, oh, I thought that was comedy gold.
I gotta see this movie in another theater, like I, yeah. before he goes out of theaters. Man, is there anything else you want to talk about?
So not hit the microphone. Dude, just go see this movie.
Yeah, it's a recommend for me.
Like
for
I said,
sure.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna go broke seeing this movie.
So we're what a little over a month away from the Oscars. Do you have predictions for this movie? You don't have to do everything, but
I don't. Okay,
I gotta say it's probably gonna be best score, right, or best soundtrack.
It
right?
has to,
right? I mean, is there any competition?
I would like again. I would give it.
I think I might give it best picture.
I would give it best picture. I think it's possible Gosling might get nominated, but I don't think he would win.
Yeah.
Emma Stone, though, if she got nominated for best actress, I think she could take it. Mm. I really, because I don't know. I feel like they both gave amazing performances, but for some reason, I feel like if Gosling gets nominated, he's not going to win. But I feel like if she gets nominated, she stands a chance.
Yeah.
Like a good one.
Well, I will say this. As of right now, it's my best picture. But I still have like three movies that I think are going to be contenders that I just keep
like
hearing
what?
About. Manchester by the Sea.
I still haven't seen that.
I keep hearing Casey Affleck should win Best Actor.
I do love me Affleck.
But I keep hearing the same thing from Moonlight.
Ah, oh, fuck.
I really want to see Moonlight. Because Moonlight is getting...
I say this movie's going to win a bunch of stuff, and I haven't really seen any of the big hitters.
But Moonlight's getting so many
that's
awards,
true, that's
dude.
True. Everyone's talking about Moonlight.
I do want to see that. And I think the other one is Hell or High Water, which is like the highest grossing indie so far of 2016. Which, well, not so far. It was the highest growing. But I don't think that's going to win anything, but I do want to see that for sure. I think Moonlight, Manchester by the Sea, you'll get Best Actor nominees and Best Picture nominees for those two.
Mm-hmm.
I keep hearing good things from 20th Century Women, which we're actually going to be playing at our theater
pretty
soon.
And that's the thing. With Manchester by the Sea, I'm hearing good things for Casey Affleck's nomination. Not so much about Michelle Williams, who's the female.
Oh,
lead,
I think she won the Critics Award for Best Actress, if I'm not mistaken. So she won one award for Best Actress.
I'm just saying that, again, I don't think Gosling would win if he got nominated.
Yeah.
But
who
is
this, but who's
Stone
his competition?
Could.
Like, I can't really recall any like huge breakout performances this past year. I'm sure there are tons, but I mean, did Hail Caesar come out this year? No.
No.
Did it?
What movies came out this year?
See, that's
to be honest.
The furthest back I can remember is like Deadpool, and I was like, that's not going to win. Well, that might win something, but it's not going to win like Best Actor or nothing. Yeah.
Well,
it don't matter.
I have no idea what movies.
We don't, yeah, whatever. I mean, we're.
Oh, well.
Oh, what about
Swiss Army Man?
Oh, I still haven't seen it. I want
dude,
to. But
that could take original score. Shit.
What do you think
the
about
score for that's incredible
cinematography? I think this movie's got a really strong chance.
No, good call. Good call.
I think it's got a really and probably art direction, right? Like I know there's
it has.
Is
to.
It art? Is art direction the name of the actual award, or is it?
I don't remember, but it's gonna win it.
You think for ward? Not maybe not wardrobe, but like definitely
yeah.
something.
Well, what do you think's gonna take a best original screenplay?
Oh shit. Probably, maybe this.
I think it's
got a good
Manchester
chance.
By the Sea adapted?
Original? Oh, shit. I don't know.
Or Moonlight, for that matter?
I think Manchester's an original. Moonlight might be adapted.
Because, I mean, I would throw this in there.
Let's put it like this. Ignoring Manchester and Moonlight, because we haven't seen them so far, this tots a lot of our categories.
Yeah, no, for sure.
For sure.
Like, I think again, I don't think it'll necessarily win all of them, but I think it's going to get a bunch of noms.
Dude, I'll nom in almost every category.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's like how Grand Budapest Hotel a few years ago just cleaned up.
Yeah.
I think this is the year of La
La Land. Has such an, I don't, this might sound odd, but it has such an innocence to it. Like, it does. When you look at all the different movies that, which we can't even remember apparently half of them, but all the different movies that come out last year, this movie, like, distances itself greatly from it. Like, it doesn't feel...
it stands out.
It doesn't feel passé. It doesn't feel pretentious. It just feels like it's a nice, cute, fun... Like, this... It almost feels like a low-budget movie.
Like, okay, like, take, like, Manchester by the Sea. I know nothing about it, but it's like, okay... Dark drama.
Yeah, Oscar nom.
Yeah.
Oscar bait.
Like, in take you can always, there's always, like, most, like, 9 times out of 10, you can take a movie and be like, okay, well, yeah, that's definitely
an Oscar heavy drama, contender,
of course. This is just like, it's just good.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's just good.
This is kind of, again, out of left wing, but
in no shame, I was tearing up so hard.
There's a lot of times.
I can't remember the last time anything, let alone a movie, made me cry, and this one almost got me there.
Did you get to see Nocturnal Animals?
Again, haven't seen any of the good movies.
Well, that one I don't think it's gonna get many nominations, except maybe cinematography.
I'm poor as shit, so I'm very selective as into what I go see.
Why you should tell me? I could maybe get you into some movies at the end.
But
I think that one might get
again. I've seen this movie twice, and I'm going a third time.
I wouldn't mind seeing it again. If it's still in theaters around Valentine's Day, I might go see it. Which it might be. It's.
I feel like in big cities it will. Here,
maybe not.
I don't know.
Well, I think that's a good place to end it, right? Did you give your silver lining for it?
Yeah, I don't think the story's over.
You don't think the story's over?
But this podcast is a.
So that's La La Land from 2016, director Damien Chazelle. If you like what we're doing here, please hit subscribe on iTunes. Please share, let people know about our podcast. Please leave us a rating, some feedback. We would greatly appreciate that. We still don't have enough ratings yet to get those little stars next to our name, which would be great. Even if they're low stars, it would still be great.
I want a star next to my name.
Right? We need a few more reviews. They don't tell us exactly how many we need, but it says we don't have enough.
That was the first song I learned how to play off the soundtrack.
Do, 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 do. Well, you picked an easy one.
Yeah.
Do, 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 do. Okay. Go on Facebook to facebook.com/silverliningsplaylist. Drop us a like. Let us know what you like about our show or what you don't like. Whatever.
Yeah, I'll take it.
And of
let
course,
me know what you don't like. I'll take that. That's awesome.
Join in on the discussion if you want and tell us what you liked or disliked about La La Land and what your Oscar predictions are, whatever.
Yeah, because I will talk about this movie with anyone.
He will. He will actively
see
people.
You want to go see this movie? Get a hold of me because I'm down.
I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, a clue for next week, same as the clue from last episode. We don't need to get into it. It's pretty obvious.
I don't remember what it was.
I will say, and not to plug too much, but I did have my film film festival today. So
how did that go?
It went great, man. I mean, the other films were there was five other ones. There were six total. There were some really interesting ones, and I don't mean condescendingly. There was one in particular I got to tell you about after this, but it's super interesting. I don't know. It was a really good turnout. I was surprised. Like, over almost like 70, 80 people.
It was
a lot of people, dude.
It's not bad for that theater. That place is small.
No, not even just for six short films, like 50 minutes. It's crazy. We find out probably tonight or tomorrow. When this comes out, we'll probably know if it moves on to Brouhaha, which would be great. Anything else you want to talk about before we go? I mean, anything going on with any projects you got coming up or anything?
No.
All right. Don't want to talk about it? I was giving you a chance, a platform
I don't really
to plug.
Have anything going on.
You got something going on?
I don't know. I'm not discussing that too much yet.
All right. Well,
not discussing it too much. Believe me, when the time comes, I won't shut up about it.
Right, yeah. Well, but I will go ahead and give people a forecast over the break. My girlfriend and my kids we've all decided we're going to they had a say so in it. We're gonna be moving. We're gonna be moving pretty soon. We're gonna be moving across to the other coast, out to La La Land itself.
Shit.
So what that means for the show, well, we haven't figured it out 100% yet, but we're gonna continue. I think what the plan is to do is to record via Skype,
mm-hmm.
still do the same thing. So we'll still be bringing you episodes, still talking about this stuff every Monday.
Might be a little different.
There might be a little lag in episodes, but we'll see. We only want to be able to do that. Only happen if we want to, because we want to bring the best out of it. So
it'll be quality over quantity.
Absolutely, and that's still like a ton. Yeah, that's what I learned from my last podcast is that sometimes quantity can be overbearing.
Yeah.
So that's still way down the pipeline. That's like 2 months away. So. Just to give the people a heads up about that. Do you have anything else you want to talk about, or should we end this one?
Let's take it home.
All right. For the 2017, for the first time, as always,
Excelsior.